Good morning, everybody. What a lovely morning at the moment. So welcome, everybody. Welcome, Owen, all the way from his home in Colorado. So this morning, Sue is going to be talking to us, reflecting on Easter today. Before that, we'll have our usual time of worship. There is a Sunday school, so the children will go out a bit later on. There will be communion as well after the sermon. So we invite all who know and love the Lord to partake in communion. So the stewards will bring the elements around and we'll offer it to everyone. So please just decline it if you don't wish to take it. And maybe parents, guardians could advise the stewards about whether children should be taking it, either the elements or a jammy dodger. The jammy dodger with the heart in it to show that Jesus loves our children. And as always, the bread is gluten-free and the wine non-alcoholic. At the end of the service, there will be tea and coffee, I think, served in the kitchen. So we'll start with a prayer. And first of all, we'll have Psalm 67, the words of Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. So, loving God, our Father, our Saviour, our Helper, we join today together to sing your praises and to encourage one another in each of our journeys. We ask that you will receive the praises we offer you this morning. Our voices, our presence, our words, our prayers, our service, our hearts, tokens of our love for you and our desire to do the right thing in your sight. We offer you our thoughts, our fears, our joys, our apprehensions, our confusion, and ask that you will bring healing and comfort where it's needed, and encouragement and clarity where it's needed, and that over the course of this morning you will build us up for your service this week. Amen. I just have a few notices, and Bernie's just wants to come along and give us an update on Judith's niece, I think it is.
Morning, everybody. Nice to see you. Just a quick update, really. Judith's niece is still a very, very vulnerable person, and she's still not out of the woods yet in terms of the problem. I think she's separated herself from most of the problem, but she's actually, because she's got bipolar now, she's actually in hospital in Dublin now, which is progress in some ways, but obviously she hasn't been come back to her home in Liverpool yet. Anyway, thank you very much for all your prayers. And please continue to pray for her, and there'll be a good outcome to all this. So, anyway, thank you very much for praying. Thanks.
Let's just bow our heads now and just lift Anne up to the Lord. So, Lord, we give you Anne alone, probably in hospital, and probably very frightened in Dublin. So we ask that you will bring medical people, people around her that give her a feeling of security and solidity, and may you bring healing to her anxious mind, her anxious heart, and settle her. And may you bring some amount of settling to the family as well, who must be so frightened for her so far away. May you calm Judith's mind too, and just wrap your arms around that family. Thank you for the witness that Judith is to her family. May you be big in their minds right now and big in the effect of this situation on their lives. Amen. So a couple of notices for things that are happening. So next Saturday at Oasis, George has a slideshow of British and Irish island wildlife, and this is 6 o'clock for 6:30 at Oasis, and this is to raise money for Techora. So the evening will include a large number of his own images of all sorts of wildlife, including rare species taken by him over some 40 years. So they start when he was a baby, I think. So he'll follow Scotland and the islands, so that, and he'll end with a wildlife quiz to see how you've been attending, if you've been paying attention. And there will be refreshments. No booking needed and no charge, but the donations will go to the work of Techora. And then the following day, George is not off the hook because he's then leading a nature walk for Friends of Erosha. And that's 2:30 at the Crosses, weather permitting. So see George if you want any more details. George gone to sleep? No, he's still awake. That's good. Right, now then. I think, kids on the front row, somebody you know might have a birthday. His granddad very, very old today. Is that right? Yeah, he's incredibly old, isn't he? Yeah, I think so. And I think we also have some more birthdays because I think Owen Chamberlain is a little bit younger. And Jenny, you're also younger, but the really old man, of course, is Ian. Isn't that right? Yeah. So we're going to sing happy birthday to you all. Take it away, music team.
Come on, George. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, everybody. I hope you have a really nice day and you're not really old. Right, we'll have a song now. Gonna sing By the Foot of the Cross, which is George's song. I'm gonna make the most of Easter songs. We don't sing Easter songs very much, do we? Just usually Easter Sunday. So we're gonna sing a few more of them. So we're not gonna confine them to last week. So the Lord has risen, so let's rejoice in that. And I love your refrain to this one, George. Come, Lord Jesus, Saviour of the world. I think that's really lovely. So stand if you're able, but sit if you prefer, and we will take it away with George's song.
He has risen. ring. Who was pierced his fault, he forgives our willfulness and gives you life to all who would be free. Life the giver, he has rid us.
So, has anybody done any Easter egg hunts this week? Hands up if you've done an Easter egg hunt. Yeah. Are you bored of Easter egg hunts, or do you want another Easter egg hunt? Yeah. That's it. Right then. So, I have placed around the church hall a number of Easter eggs. So, can you find them and bring them to me? They are the inflatable ones, yes. And I will swap them for a chocolate one if you bring me an inflatable one. Oh, well done, Heidi. Have a little egg. Anymore. Thank you. Right, four. I've got two more. There should be somewhere. Two more. There is a blue one and a green one. That one's a bit heightist, isn't it? Sorry. I had to stand on the chair. Don't tell the health and safety officer. Thank you very much. Or did I tie that too tightly? Right.
I did that.
Because sometimes we don't see what's right in front of us, do we? And if you read Hillary's reflection this week in the newsletter, she reflects on how Jesus appeared to his disciples after the resurrection, but they didn't immediately recognise him. So Mary thought he was the gardener. The two disciples on the Emmaus Road just thought he was a fellow traveller, a stranger. And the disciples out fishing saw this figure on the shore and just thought he was a stranger. And Hilary is reflecting how Jesus appears to us in the normal everyday lives. And sometimes Jesus appears to us and we just don't see him. And afterwards it seems incredible that we didn't see him working in our lives and comforting us and doing whatever in our lives. And then we realise actually he was standing right there and we didn't see. So that's just a demonstration that maybe we need to look for Jesus. Don't assume he's going to affect your life in some amazing way, and just keep waiting for him to come. He is here, he is with you, and he is in the ordinary things that are happening in your life. So I'm going to sing He Is Risen now, a nice bouncy one. If you want to bounce the inflatable eggs around, you can. There's also some flags here, so we're going to really sing He Is Risen and sing, be joyful, because sometimes we celebrate Easter on Easter Day, don't we? And then we think, all right, that's it, done, on to the next thing. But it's Easter, it's happened, Jesus is resurrected, so let's be joyful about it.
When we sing this, we'll sing the chorus through twice to begin with, but then in between the verses we'll just sing it through.
Sorry. We'll just sing it through once.
Angels as inside.
take a seat. We're going to have some prayers now. And we'll pray for the world in a moment, but I just thought it would be nice if the children maybe could suggest some things we could pray for, and maybe we could do those things on the colours of our inflatable eggs. So can you think of anything you might like to pray for that's, say, yellow? What things are yellow that you might like to give thanks for, maybe? Sunflowers, maybe? Sunshine, yeah, the sun is yellow, isn't it? Yeah, any more yellow things? A what? Bananas, yes. And Steph and Jill and Angela, who are wearing yellow. So we give you thanks for them. Any other yellow thing? Anything that's orange? Oranges, yes, oranges. Carrots, do we give thanks for carrots? Yeah, carrots are nice, aren't they? All right. What else have we got? Purple. Purple's at the back. Purple. What purple things do you give thanks for? Grapes, yeah. Violets, yeah. What? What was that?
Cadbury's Dairy Milk.
Cadbury's Dairy Milk, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. And Laurie, who's wearing purple. We give you thanks for Laurie. And purple cloth also is used through Lent, wasn't it? So we give thanks to God for Lent and then what Jesus did at the end. So pink, who's got the pink one? Pink one, where's my pink one? Anyway, pink, what's pink? Not many things are pink, are they? Susie's pink today, thank you for pinkness. And Jenny and Annette and Betty. Roses, yeah. Oh, Jenny's pink, yeah. Pigs are pink, pigs are nice. Kay, yeah. Oh yes, Kay's wearing pink. Carnations, yeah. Yeah. What have we not done? Green. Grass, yes. Trees, yes. Broccoli. Sprouts, eh, Eunice? Gotta say it for sprouts, haven't we? Grass. For grass, yeah. Yeah. And what's the one we haven't done? Blue, I think that's the last one. Sky, thank you for the sky. And the sea. Yes, bluebells, yeah. Heidi, yeah. And Cam, yeah. And lots of us actually wearing blue. Oh, James got green on, yeah. Right, so let's just say thank you for all of those colours. So thank you, Father, for all of those things that we've mentioned. All those things that are around us every day that we sometimes forget are there, but we give you thanks for them. We thank you for the colours of the rainbow as well, the arc that you set in the sky as your promise. So thank you for all of those colourful things. And now we'll pray for the world. So I'll say a few phrases. These are only short. I'll say a few phrases. So after I've said each phrase, I'll say the words, "He has risen." Maybe you could all say, "Jesus is alive," as a kind of amen to some of these things. So, Father, we have seen some beautiful photographs of the Earth from the Artemis spacecraft this week. And we have felt so proud to look upon our planet, the home you created for us. We thank you for our beautiful planet and ask that you will forgive us when we treat it carelessly, and we ask for your help in taking better care of it. He has risen. Jesus is alive. And we ask for your intervention in those areas of the world where there is conflict, particularly the Middle East and Ukraine. And may this fragile ceasefire in Iran continue, and may the negotiations which are floundering right now lead to a permanent resolution. May you intervene in those talks, Lord. May peace and reconciliation and love and healing wash over those areas and over those who seek to intervene and find the resolutions. He has risen. Jesus is alive. We lift up to you those who are hungry, homeless, or in fear of their lives. We don't understand why there is so much suffering and injustice, but we ask for your influence to reach into the hearts of the leaders and the powerhouses who have the means to change things and alleviate so much suffering. He has risen. Jesus is alive. And we ask for your influence to be in our government, in the hearts of our MPs. We ask that you will guide our government and our Prime Minister and our King in the functions of state and in their representation of us, the people. We ask that people will turn their faces to you and realise your glory. He has risen. Jesus is alive. And finally, we ask for your presence to be felt in our town of Hassanbach. We lift to you all who work for Cheshire East, including Sandra, and for the town council, for Sam Corcoran as he takes on the role of mayor, for Sarah Russell, our MP. We ask for good decisions of integrity, and we ask your blessing on the community of Sandbach and on our church and our groups and all the people who are part of them. Bind us together and help us to sing your praises over our town. He has risen. Jesus is alive. Amen. And because Jesus has risen, he is our rescuer. And may we be willing to be rescued. So let's stand and sing, and we'll take the collection in this song.
Forevermore. Oh, I see.
So, Lord, we place these gifts into your hands for your work. May you guide the work of this church. May we use these gifts that people have given to your work, guided by you. And may the money from the little boxes that go to the children, may they transform the lives of those children. We lift each child up to you and ask that you will bless them. And may you bless the people who have placed these gifts in the boxes and bags today. May your blessing be on their lives. And we pray now for our children as they go to Sunday school. May they learn something new. May they have fun. And may they just learn that you are a risen God, but you are a God who is to be trusted, and a God who can be relied on. So bless their time now. Amen.
Amen.
So the children are going to go off to Sunday school and we are going to have our reading. So our reading is Luke 24 and it's verses 1 to 7. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again."
So, early in the morning when it was barely light, they set off. Those faithful women who had stood at the foot of the cross, seen him breathe his last breath, watched as he was laid hastily in the tomb. Now with heavy hearts and heavy tread, they set off with their spices and clean linen sheets, to do that which women always do, tending the dead, shrouding them decently with spices before burial. There'd been no time to do it on the Friday, then it had been the Sabbath, but now on the Sunday morning, they set off for their burdensome work. Under different circumstances, those same women would have tended the newborn, wrapping them too in clean white linen, using different spices for the delicate baby skin, but swaddling the newborn, just as they now prepared to shroud the dead. These women were used to the endings and beginnings of life. They were used to being there to watch life come and go. Used to being present at births and deaths. So they set off in the half light with their burdens. This time expecting to attend a death, a life over. Not to witness a birth, the coming of new life. So we sing a resurrection hymn. Things. Andrea and I had a talk and we decided, you know, Easter's a good one to celebrate the week after Easter. And there's also this. When I last stood here, can anyone remember when it was and what I promised you? No. It was seven weeks ago. It was the first Sunday of Lent. And we talked about Jesus' baptism, his time in the desert, and the temptations he faced there. And because that was there were various reasons that week, there was a part of the sermon that didn't get found time for. And I said, I'll do part two next time I'm on the rota. But it's today. So now I've got the beginning of Jesus' ministry, time in the desert, and Easter Sunday, and I thought they don't sort of go together. But actually, I think they do. So I think what we'll do is start with Jesus' time in the desert, the beginning of his ministry, and we'll complete the bit that we should have done last time, and we'll move on his time at the end of his ministry and see how it worked out. Okay, that's the journey. Remember the time in the desert, that desolate place, 40 days, 40 nights, while he thought about how he was going to be the Messiah, what he was going to do, how he was going to minister to the people of God and speak of God. What did God want? And Jesus faced three temptations, if you remember. And they, as it were, because he was tempted one way, showed him the truth about which way he should go, because sometimes, you know, you reject one thing and then you know what you should do. And at the time, I thought those temptations give us as a church some guidance. We're in an interregnum. The temptations that come to most churches in interregnums. And if we're warned about them, we can fight them. The first temptation Jesus faced was to jump off the temple. Do spectacular things. People will notice. That wouldn't be a problem, would they? They'd notice that. But what would people notice? A rather odd miracle worker with tremendous nerve and courage. But would it communicate God's mercy and truth? It is written, do not put the Lord to the God, your God, to the test. Don't let's be tempted. I don't think we should jump off Sandbach Town Hall. But don't let's be tempted by the spectacular. It attracts the wrong sort of attention. Some time ago, we were at the church in Leek, URC stroke Methodist Church, and they had just opened what they called the Grace Centre the week before. And it was a centre on Thursdays where people could drop in for anything they needed, really, if they needed company or food or a bit of shelter. People could just drop in centre, and they would find love and care and food. And we were talking to the minister afterwards, and we said, you know, the Grace Centre had been in the Evening Sentinel, the local newspaper. And we were talking to the minister afterwards, and we said, this is a really good thing you're doing here, isn't it? It's really great. And she said, yes, it's God's work. It's not our work. It was spectacular. It was in the papers. But she pointed it to God. The attention of the crowd is best attracted by selfless acts of service to our community, which points back to the work of God in our midst rather than to us. So it's pantry and energize and BAP, and it's engaging in the world's need for change through Tear Fund and Climate Group and the Amnesty and Christian Aid. The attention to attract is through quiet pastoral visits to the lonely and baking a cake and sorting out someone's phone or somebody's computer. Or designing a meaningful display in Oasis in the window there, you know? Cleaning Oasis so that visitors catch a glimpse of the godly environment. So the first thing I thought for the church to note at this time is, don't let's get carried away when people praise us. It's nice when they do. But may our act of Christian worship point not to us, but to God. Then Jesus was hungry. Turn these stones into bread. 40 days, you know, that's a long time. He could turn the stones into bread. He fed 5,000 later on. But the temptation was to satisfy his own needs first. I am hungry. I will have to have some bread. And that wasn't the message he'd come to share. There's more to it than that. It is written, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Don't let's give in to the temptation to satisfy our hunger, our needs as a church first. However hungry we are for a new minister, and we probably are, there is a life of God, for God to be lived before that happens. It isn't to serve our hunger, but the hunger of the world around that we need to satisfy. And whatever the future holds for us, it's not our needs, but God's purposes in the world which count. And finally, there was the temptation to subject for Jesus to subject himself to a power that was other than his Father, to worship the devil in the confrontation there, which is described in the Bible. Sometimes it's easy, it's taking the easy way out, isn't it, to put your trust in the wrong place. If someone else will make the decisions, tell us what to do, then we don't have to do the hard things. And in pursuing God's will, and for Jesus, it's subjecting himself to the Father's will and all that that would entail, he would face Gethsemane and Calvary and death. Putting his trust in someone other than Jesus would, or other than the Lord, would spare him all that suffering. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So for us, maybe the worship of another power other than God may be looking for the easy way out, not bearing the burden of being God's people in Sandbach. A lot of people are taking on extra work at the moment, and a lot of people here in church are tired. But don't let's give in to the temptation to take the easy way out, to put someone else in charge, to hand over the responsibility to someone, to anyone else, someone who'll do the hard work and make the hard decisions for us, because that's not the way. Worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. So three temptations. Temptation to trust and seek out the approval of the world by our spectacular church life, rather than continuing the self-sacrificing service in quiet ways. And the temptation to satisfy our own hunger for a minister, rather than putting our effort into serving God now in our current situation as he satisfies the hunger of the world. And the temptation to look for an easy way to avoid the hardships of church lives ourselves, rather than waiting for the choice of God. So for Jesus, 40 days of struggle and prayer and temptation and reflection and questioning, and finally obedience to the will of God. Then the angels came and cared for him. And he goes out of the desert knowing what God wants, what sort of a servant of his Father he is going to be, what sort of a Messiah. For 3 years he serves and feeds and heals and loves the unlovely and the unlovable. He washes feet, feeds the hungry, preaches how to live in the light of God's love, performs miracles, pointing the people back to his Father. And that is how we're called to follow him. But you will say, when you look back on Good Friday, it didn't end well, did it? Live like that, and it leads to Good Friday. For all his trust in God, it finished up in pain and torture and denial and betrayal and brokenness and death. And you want us to follow that way? His way of living by God's standards isn't very appealing, is it? And yes, no one said it would be easy. Except for one thing, and you know what I'm going to say now. Except for Easter. Empty cross, empty tomb. Yes, it was awful, it was hard, it was painful, it was dreadful. And we are often called to do the awful and painful and dreadful and hard things. But we have, at the end of Easter week, the empty tomb, the empty cross. Do you remember last week Dave talked about the turn, the twist, the turn in the tale of the story? There was sometimes when you read a story, a little twist at the end. There is a twist, actually, an unexpected turn of events in the Easter story, which we sometimes forget when we talk about Christ's victory over sin and death. Yes, Christ's death on the cross brings the promise of new life to us as individuals. Easter Sunday is a good day to turn once more to our faith and to receive again new life in Christ. It's a good day for baptisms, that with its symbolism of dying to the old life, rising again out of the water to the new life in Christ. Martin was telling us that their church had two baptisms last Sunday, and they, the minister, performed these two baptisms, and everyone rejoiced. And then he did what ministers sometimes do with their fingers crossed behind their backs. The minister said, "Is there anybody here who would like to be baptized now?" And you cross your fingers behind your backs because you really hope the answer is no, because you haven't made any preparations and they didn't bring any dry clothes. So Lawrence said, "Is there anybody who..." And one of the members of the congregation who'd been there for years and served the church well said, "Yes, me." And he took his jumper off and he went straight into the water and was baptized. Fortunately, somebody had gym kit in their car. So he went home in somebody else's gym kit with his jumper over the top. It was actually a lady who had gym kit in her car. Good time. Good day to turn once more, or for the first time, to our faith and welcome the promise of new life in Christ. But there is another twist going on in that story. It's not just the story of the salvation for individuals, glorious though that is. The twist is that the victory over sin was won on the cross, not by power, but by unbroken, undying love of Christ for his people. The victory isn't actually the resurrection. I'll come to that in a minute. The victory of love over everything which seeks to destroy it is what counts. The resurrection, I think, is just God saying, "See, do you get it now? That's how it works, through indestructible love exemplified in Jesus." Because on Good Friday, there was a cosmic battle going on. It's an encounter with the powers of evil again, just like Jesus in the wilderness. And at the end of his ministry, at the beginning of his ministry, and at the end, there is that battle going on cosmically in the world between good and evil, between love and hatred. And the final victory over the ultimate power of evil in the world, and the victory is won by the unbroken, indestructible, inexhaustible power of the love of God in Christ. So Jesus' love was not broken by the failure of the disciples to serve each other by washing their feet. And it's not broken by the betrayal of Judas and the denials of Peter. It is struggled with in Gethsemane any way but this, but not my will but yours be done. So love wins when Jesus stands silent before the powers of the priest and the Sanhedrin and Herod and Pilate. And love wins when Jesus is unbroken before the mockery and the torture and the pain. And on the cross, love wins when he promises the thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And love wins when he prays for the soldiers, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." And the final battle of love over evil is won when he says, "It is finished." You say to me, "It isn't finished because there is still evil in the world and there's still the battle going on." That's a sermon for another day. It's quite true, but that's a sermon for another day. The message to us as a church is that it is only through unbroken, loving, serving obedience that new life comes to the church and through us to the world. And when we gather, as we will, around the table and break the bread, it reminds us of the cost of that victory over evil. It's only Jesus' body which was broken. The love was indestructible and unbreakable. And therein lies the real godly power. Vain the stone, the watch, the seal. Christ has burst the gates of hell. We'll sing, "Love's redeeming work is done," as our communion hymn. On a day of rejoicing, we gather here and remind us of the cost to Jesus of that opportunity to rejoice. This is the table of the Lord, not of the church, the table of the Lord. It's made ready for those who love him a little and want to love him more. Come if you have much faith and if you have little. If you have been here often, if you have not been here for a long time. Come if you have tried to follow and if you've failed. Come because it's not I who invites you, it is the Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. We'll let the children come in and then we'll have a quiet moment of prayer. Coming in to sit down. Welcome back. So a quiet moment of prayer, quiet moment of reflection, to reflect of the cost to Jesus of our salvation and the salvation of the world. Perhaps time for a prayer of confession. Moment of joy and thanksgiving. A moment of uncertainty or of a new certainty to bring to him. A moment to hear God's welcome, whatever we bring. Living Lord, we come to you with all our different agendas and needs, with our different thoughts, but you invite us to come. So here we are. We know that you welcome us with all that we bring. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he shared it with them. This is my body broken for you, he said. We eat the bread as we receive it. And for the children, there are jammy dodgers, if you wish, with a heart in the middle. That's Jesus' love for you. After supper, he took the cup and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you," he said. Mm. We'll retain the cup and we'll all drink together when everybody's been served. So together we drink and remember. As we gather around this table, let's widen the table to draw into it the fellowship of those who we would pray for this morning and who are not perhaps here with us. Let's draw into the circle of this table those who we know would have us pray for them this morning. Perhaps family and friends in their need. Members of this church who particularly need to be remembered this morning, we pray for them. Knowing that the circle of the table will reach them because there's plenty of love. Perhaps we draw into the fellowship of the table all those who Andrea prayed for earlier this morning. The whole world, that it may be touched by the indestructible love of God. Lord, hear our prayer. We bring it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our final song is a song from Iona. And it was written to some unsingable Scottish tune. Those of you who know this tune will probably not agree with me, but we've put it to a tune which you can all sing, and it's going to go at a jolly speed, I think. It's an Easter song, but a new one. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. evermore. Amen.